Welcome to Edge of Indy. I'm Brittany Harness, not Aaron Sparks, and we have a good show on the docket today, and I don't use that word lightly. We have Culture of Good co-founder Ryan McCarty here with us, but before we get started, let's check out this video.
Hi, Ryan McCarty here with Culture of Good. I want to answer a question that many people have been asking, and that is simply, what is the culture of good? Scott Moorhead and I started Culture of Good 4 years ago in his company, TCC, America's largest Verizon retailer. What we found is that Culture of Good that started as a movement where we were including the employees in doing good in their local communities. That continued to grow and expand until finally we had the customers involved as well. That became our secret sauce, something that other companies and businesses were asking, how are you engaging your millennials? How are you engaging your customers? It seems like you have something going on there. And we knew what it was the culture of good. So as companies and businesses were asking us how to do it, we realized this is an opportunity to expand beyond TCC to other companies. So if you or your company are looking for a way to answer the question, like how do we have a vibrant culture that inspires our employees, that ignites positive change in the world, and that impacts our bottom line, how do we do that? We do that through the culture of good, and we can offer those same services and products to your business today. Find us on cultureofgood.com for more information.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Welcome back to the Edge of Indy, where we are all about recognizing the entrepreneurs and innovators in the Indianapolis community. We believe in focusing on what's trending, what's local, and highlighting some of the best and brightest in Indianapolis. And with us today, we have one of those best and brightest individuals. And we're excited to get started. So first things first, let's introduce Ryan McCarty, co-founder of Culture of Good.
Well, hello.
Hi. Thanks for being here with me.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for riding the wave. Today is going to be a fun day.
Looking forward to it.
I cannot wait. Well, you're very busy, and I know you're traveling all the time, so thank you for taking time to be in studio with us. I'm glad you're here. You've recently been recognized twice by the American Business Awards, as well as by this year's EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. You tout awards from PR Daily, PR News, CE Leaders Who Rock, and the Indianapolis Philanthropy Awards.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a mouthful.
Sounds and
a lot.
Important.
You sound very important. How important on a scale of 1 to 10 are you?
Well, that's a really good question. Well, it depends on who you're talking to. If it's people that are connected with Culture of Good, I'm at a 10. If you talk to my kids, sometimes I'm like a 4. But it's exciting to see kind of the movement growing and people finding out about the culture good and discovering what this really is.
That's great. Well, as you said, you're the co-founder of Culture of Good, which is a cultural movement launched in 2013.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's affiliated with TCC Verizon. So can you give us a little bit of background about what it's all about?
Yeah, I'll give you the backstory. We can kind of start from there. Yep. So Scott Moorhead is the CEO of TCC, the largest Verizon retailer in the country. And to this point, he has 3,000 employees, 800 Verizon stores across the country. And we connected outside of work. So at the time, I actually was a pastor. And he walked into
one of
my...
I believe that, actually.
Really?
You feel like one, yes.
That's wild. he came into one of my messages where I was talking about not just having what you do in life, but why you do it. And he was inspired by the idea that if he could bring that message into his employees and they came into work every single day and they knew why they came into work and they discovered meaningful work, even though it's retail, it's Verizon, typically you don't think about having meaningful work where you're selling wireless phones to people, right? But if you could discover your why in that type of environment, then he'd be onto something really amazing. And so he gave me a call and said, hey, let's grab some lunch. We grabbed some food at a Mexican restaurant local in Marion, Indiana, and over chips and salsa, we drew out this idea that became the culture of good. And so it kind of started with, let's do some philanthropic work. Let's create some good within the company where every single employee, though, was actively involved in that and engaged with it. And if they came to work every day happy and engaged and doing good work, then the customers would be impacted by it. Therefore, it would impact the business. And when the business would grow, the culture of good then would become a promise to everyone that as the business grew, greater good would happen. So more good would happen as the company became bigger. So that's kind of where it all began, February of 2013.
And look how far you've come.
It's really crazy. It's been such an adventure. Like starting from this idea over chips and salsa to where we are now has been such a wild ride.
All of the best ideas do happen over Mexican food, though,
right? I totally believe that. So anytime we have creative meetings, we're like, let's get the chips and salsa out. Let's celebrate.
Exactly.
Right? And let's just have some fun.
Exactly. So. Well, I've got some research here to cite that kind of backs everything that you've been saying.
Sure.
A 2016 Gallup report found that 71% of employees are not engaged at work. 60% of employees do not connect with the company's mission, and 60% of millennials are open to different job opportunities and likely to job hop. Why is this happening?
Well, I would say this, and this is a really interesting idea here. If we think about previous generations and how they looked at their work, they saw it as, let me turn this job into a career, right? And the career meant that I'd be married to this job for maybe 40 years and I would get a gold watch at the end.
You're going to retire there.
Right. Yep. So we went from marriage to engagement. And so the last 20 years we've talked about how do we engage employees? Well, when we talk about millennials and Gen Y, they don't really even want to be engaged. They want to date. So they want amazing experiences while they're at work, and they want to know that what they're doing is having an amazing impact. And so employees or employers and those that are offering those type of jobs need to consider that this is a different work environment and this is a different employee base that we're dealing with here. They don't want to be married and wait for the gold watch. They many times don't even want to just be engaged. They want to date and they want to grow and learn and experience. And they want to bring the best of themselves into that work. And that's what we've seen at TCC. Like 85 to 90% of their employees are millennials.
I believe it.
So that connecting that millennial group has been really crucial. And that is where I think it really took off is we created the movement where every employee felt connected to it, engaged with it.
Absolutely.
And they saw their impact.
Makes a lot of sense to me. Your team's call to action is to inspire your employees, ignite positive change in the world, and impact the bottom line.
Sure.
How are these three things tied together? And then how does an inspired employee impact the bottom line? Like, how do those things really influence one another?
Yeah, and that's a crucial piece. So if you think about most companies are embarking on employee engagement or employee experience, and they put a lot of their effort into that because they know they want to engage their employees or give them a great experience. And then many times we're like, okay, the employees are on point. So now we need to get to the customers. And so we do customer management. We spend a bunch of money on software and tracking customers and trying to keep them connected. And so that becomes another silo. So you've got employees, you have customers. And then the question comes up, if you're a for-profit company, what are you doing to make a difference? Like why are you in business? And many times we embark on like a CSR program, corporate social responsibility, and employees are asking like, what is my company doing that's making an impact? Customers are saying, I want to spend money with companies that are doing good. And so companies start to put a bunch of effort into CSR programs and doing good. The problem is those three things are very siloed in the business world now. And with the culture of good, the secret sauce of the culture of good, I'll just give it right now.
Yes.
And we can almost
early
be
on.
Done with the podcast. Yeah. The secret sauce is finding an alignment, finding the convergence of what your employees care most about, what your customers care most about, and what aligns with your business model. What does your business care? So finding a cause in the world that aligns with your business plan, and finding that same cause that aligns with the customers and the employees, and then operating your business through that becomes the culture of good. So what we call the culture of good is a couple of things. It's a promise that as a company grows because it's doing good, that it'll do more good. So it's more than a CSR program. Mm-hmm. The other thing that it is, it's an emotional operating system. So at TCC, as an example, everything from recruiting employees, potential employees, to onboarding, to training, development, management, everyone throughout the entire organization operates the business through the culture good model. So it becomes an emotional operating system. So it's very empathetic. It looks at customers like people and human beings rather than just a financial transaction. And it allows the customer to be involved and engaged in the culture. And that's what's really powerful about what the Culture of Good offers. More than just a theory about let's do good as a company, it's going to do great for our business. No, it's way beyond that. It really becomes cultural to who the company is and why they're in business.
Well, and so many companies, I feel like, set this culture and it's like a set it and forget it kind of thing. Like, exactly. Our culture is X, Y, Z, but you never go back and revisit it. You never adapt it. You never grow with it. Yeah. And so I feel like this is something that you're kind of always keeping your pulse on, and it's always, you know, it's always feeding
so
back into the system.
Well, sure. It's so intentional. And what we started over 4 years ago with the Culture of Good was a movement that it was really a moment. So what we started with was a day where all employees across the entire company gave back backpacks to kids in the local community. But it wasn't just the CEO writing a check to a large organization and saying, come work for us and be proud of where you work because we do good.
Right.
It was giving the resource to the employees. And so they went and handed a backpack to a kid. And we think that's just a give back and that's fine. But it became this disruptive moment where every employee, thousands of employees across the country, saw themselves being a part of something bigger. They shared it on social media. They hashtag Culture of Good. They saw each other from Pennsylvania all the way through to Florida giving back at the same time. We gave away 60,000 backpacks with school supplies within 40 minutes. And it was just this shock to the system. And that disruptive moment, what we had to discover is how do we turn that into a predictive movement? Because that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's like, let's go do a walk together. Let's go
plant a tree.
Some trees. There's no, but a lot of times there's no emotional connection to it. And that's what another thing that we really preach a lot at Culture of Good is like, it has to be more than just let's plant some trees or let's give some money to another organization. How am I as an employee and how am I as an employer giving my employees and giving my peers permission to care, giving them permission to bring their soul to work?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really interesting conversation because a lot of times we look at nonprofit companies as having a lot of soul.
Yep, and I was going to ask,
but they're not good at business,
right?
And then you have for-profit companies that are great at business, but many times don't have a soul, or haven't found their soul, or lost it in the process of growth. And so what we do is we teach for-profit companies how to operate their business with the soul of a nonprofit,
right?
And that's my experience. I spent 25 years in nonprofit work and didn't know anything about for-profit work. So learning the business and learning the corporate world was all brand new to me after 25 years in nonprofit work. So that was really, I came into it not knowing the rules of for-profit business and not knowing that employees typically aren't treated like human beings and they're just another number on a payroll. And so I came in and inspired these employees in the same way that I did in my previous work. And so that's what my experience was in, and that's what I brought to the for-profit world. And that, I believe, is what really works.
It seems like it definitely
is. It's fun, too.
It seems like you have fun. How could you not have fun?
Nobody argues with giving back and doing good, right? But the question comes in is how do we pay for it? Like, what are the obstacles along the way? And so those are some of the things that we're learning now that we have to teach others how to embark on this themselves.
Well, and going back to the initiative that you mentioned, you know, taking the backpacks and actually delivering them face to face to a kid. It so often when you're at work, you go in, you punch the, you know, proverbial clock, you do your task, you check off your stuff. But getting out from behind your desk and actually looking into a child's face and seeing that you're making an impact to them, I don't see how that couldn't, like, jolt everyone's system into a whole new way of thinking about things.
Yeah, so you remember to feel again.
You do.
You know?
Right.
And what happened is, you know, you have an employee that gives a backpack to a kid who, one of the stories is we had a mom who had her son and daughter, and she had had to say goodbye to their dad that day where he was being sent off with the military. So he got on a plane that Saturday morning. The kids were upset. The mom was understandably upset, but she drove them by one of the TCC stores. No, there's no sales gimmicks, no coupons in the backpacks. This is simply doing the right thing for the right reasons. And she pulled up to one of the stores. That store happened to have two backpacks that day. One was green and one was pink, and they were both camouflage. And so she pulls up after they had said goodbye to their dad to be sent off to the military, And they pull up to the store, they walk over to the table and they see those backpacks, they put them on their back and they look over at their mom and say, "This is for dad." And she starts crying. The
Don't
store
you make
manager
me cry
cries.
Right now.
All the employees cry. Oprah showed up. She was giving cars away. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god.
That
gosh.
Didn't happen. But it was just like
it was like divine intervention.
Yeah, these are those moments that we like to create that we call disruptive.
Right.
If companies think about, okay, we're gonna go clean up a park. Or clean up a street. There's nothing wrong with that. And we're certainly engaged in the environment and doing good. And we've done all that type of stuff as well. But that's not how to launch a culture of good movement. You have to have something that your employees, your customers, your business, everything's aligned with that's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have that emotional beginning. And then we want to create a predictive movement out of that. But it has to connect to people's feet. It has to hit people right in the feels, right?
Yep.
Like that is the crucial thing. And I hear it so many times. It's like, well, I give my employees, you know, time off to go volunteer and everybody wants it, but they never go do it. And, you know, we're not giving anybody direction. We're not being intentional about it. We're training and teaching and coaching and so many other things. But in terms of you as a person, as an employee, having the opportunity to go and do good, a lot of times we just are hands off with that. And culture of good says, let's be intentional. Let's create and build culture around this. And let's dictate it through the leadership, but let's let the people determine it. And that's what's crucial with culture is it can't just be like, we're going to do this. This is our culture, right? It has to be.
Our culture is animals. We care about animals. Like let people determine what they really, what areas they care about.
Yeah. And what it really impacts is even beyond the cause of the customer. It's like, how are we impacting our employees? How are we impacting our customers' lives? So it goes beyond philanthropy. It definitely has a philanthropic heart to it and the soul of it. But it also is saying, like, how do we speak to our employees in a way that they know their impact and our customers, you know, when they come into the store, you know, are they invited to engage and participate, or are they just told, hey, spend money with us and we'll go do good with your money?
Right.
It's a far greater conversation to say, hey, come spend money with us and come, let's do good together. Because when you serve together with people, if it's your peer as an employee, then you're building relationship with your peers. And if it's a customer, now you've won somebody for life. And that's where it starts to impact your bottom line. So we talk about inspire employees, impact the world or ignite positive change in the world and impact your bottom line. That's where it starts to impact the bottom line and it impacts the business. And we believe it's a business differentiator. And we believe in businesses and companies sharing the good that they do, because that's another piece of it. A lot of companies are like, well, we write checks and we don't want anybody to know about it. And there's something admirable about that, right? It feels good to think that a company would give and never say anything about it, but it can't be contagious unless you sneeze on somebody. So we want people sneezing good on others so that it can be contagious. And that's what we found.
Sure.
Since TCC has started doing this, other companies have engaged in it and are doing good and making a difference and creating positive change in their world as well, simply without even calling us and saying, hey, come consult us, or, you know, we want to hire you to teach us, which we're definitely available to do. They're just doing it on their own. They're just saying, we want to drive our business, but we also want to do tremendous good through that. So that's what's really cool about it.
Okay, yeah. Side question.
Yes.
Can a company ever be too big or too small to either develop a culture or to revisit their culture? Like, can a company be too small or too big for that? And how would you go about, let's say a company has a loose culture, but they really need to get it down on paper, like what we believe in, what we're about. What's the process for getting that started?
Yeah, we would start by saying, well, shameless plug, buy our book, right? Build a Culture of Good.
We're going to touch on that too, don't worry.
Yeah, oh, I know. But that's really where we start. But we have a tremendous product suite that is just about to go out on market now. So we have engaged with other companies and helped teach them along the way. In terms of everything and our deliverables that will teach a small business that might say, you know what, we have $800. Can we start with like $500, $800 and like kick this thing off? Mm-hmm. Teach us how to do that. We have like Culture Good in a box to be able to do that, where they can just online tools and video modules and teaching and training and manager tools and all of that is available. all the way to a large company that wants that consultancy, that say, we want somebody to come in hand and like walk us through the process. Because what we found, it, here's what we learned. We thought we could go in and teach culture of good. And what we learned is we have to backtrack from culture of good and teach companies how to identify their values.
Right.
Like, what are your values? What do you care most about? And secondly, do your employees even know? Do your customers know what you value?
Or like, do they hear it outside of that initial interview that they're in? And is it ever mentioned again?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, or it, because if not, it's not culture. We identify culture as what most of the people believe and behave most of the time. Right. So it has to be everybody collectively doing this and living it out. It can't just be like a few people on top saying this is our culture, or putting it on a website or on a poster on the board, you know, in the break room and say, these are our values. Like, if it's really your values, it's talked about. And so we encourage companies, if this is going to be your culture, if culture of good is how you're going to build your culture and engage and date your employees, right? We want to make sure that those things are being said all the time. Mm-hmm. So every meeting, how are you bringing the conversation of culture into that? It's so crucial. What we say is culture is not everything, but it impacts everything. And it really does. If your employees don't have high morale, it's going to impact their job performance. If they come to work happy, it's going to impact their job performance. It's going to impact your business. And those things are really important to a company that actually wants to drive their business forward, right? And so we really encourage companies to make sure that culture's intentional. And that they're very aggressive in the process of saying, this is who we want to be, and this is who we are.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
so common sense. It's so common sense and obvious, but it just gets on the back burner and it never gets addressed, and then it gets away from you. And
it's so common sense that I felt weird talking about it at first, because I was like, this isn't anything. And I had someone tell me one time, they were like, this is commonly known but uncommonly practiced. Like, this isn't anything like revolutionary in terms of like, okay, yeah, we need to do good and we need to, you know, make sure our employees are engaged and connected with it. And we need to make sure our customers are involved in it. It makes complete sense.
It does.
But a lot of times we get caught in the whirlwind and check the box tasks of everyday business stuff that we miss out on what we know really works. And what really works beyond strategy, beyond any other business attempt to drive your business forward, is saying that culture, if it impacts employees and it impacts customers and it impacts the business, then it'll impact our business, our bottom line. And because of that, it's gonna have a tremendous impact on what we value and what we care about in the world. And so being able to share that and care about the world and share the good that you do, is a crucial piece of that puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You participated in a coast to coast tour.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I'm so glad that's over. To be honest.
It had to have been fun.
It was amazing.
You stopped in 30 cities, traveled from west to east, I believe, and drove over 15,000 miles. Is that right?
Oh yeah.
I think we have a little bit of footage.
I didn't drive.
Well,
but I rode.
Cause you're the talent. You deserve to be driven.
I don't know about all that.
I think we've got a little bit of footage. Let's go ahead and look at that, and then we'll talk about it.
Crazy good can happen when people believe that doing good matters. Teachers show up every single day because they believe in what they do. They know it's part of their calling in life. And so we want to just take time out of their day to simply say, you're awesome, you're amazing. It's going to be a great time. Really cool stuff, man. Building a culture of good, one city at a time. company in the entire world had a culture of good, the entire world would be changed. It's wild.
How much did you invest?
Absolutely crazy.
That looked incredible.
It was. What an experience.
Yeah, tell me all about it. And then I also want to know some of your favorite cities that you stopped in as well.
Yeah, so we started in Post Falls, Idaho. And so we were in the PNW way up west. And we started there and we got caught in a ice storm, which is where we shot that first video we showed on
the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, so during that ice storm, we shot that other video. And got stuck in there for a few days and then went all the way down the West Coast and all the way down to, let's see, we were down in Texas and New Mexico and all that area. And then we came up through the Midwest up to St. Louis and then all the way through Indianapolis here. We came through Indianapolis a couple times with the bus, which was fun. Got all the way over to Indianapolis and down through Atlanta. And then over to, oh, geez, all the way up the East Coast, up into New York City. And we were in Manhattan and met with the chamber in New York City. And that was a lot of fun. New York City, is, of course, is fun.
Always.
One of my favorite cities, honestly, this was kind of like just a stop that we were there for a short time. But Boston is really cool.
I haven't been there yet. I've traveled a lot, but I've not been to Boston yet.
It's fascinating. Just the history downtown and walking the streets. But really, everywhere we went, we just saw all this good taking place. And then from Boston, we went over to drove all the way through to Minnesota and then all the way down through the country to Austin, Texas, to South by Southwest.
Also a great
city. Big festival. Oh, yeah. It's the first time I've ever been there.
Oh, really?
So cool. Yeah.
It's a very cool town.
Had a blast. A lot of it was about three things. It was about, all right, we've got a book that we published and we wanted to let the world know we've got this new book. We have a business that we were launching. Mm-hmm. So we launched the Culture of Good as its own entity outside of TCC mm-hmm. in January. And that was a big part of the bus tour as well. People need to know.
Sure.
And I like creative ways of saying things. So the bus tour is a way of creatively saying we're our own business.
It's hard to miss a big bus.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought they were going to throw me on in a little 15 passenger van. I was like, driving that around the entire country wouldn't have had the same impact, you know?
Right.
So we had the book, we had the bus or the book and the business, and then just the brand of Culture of Good. And just knowing that this is a movement that we want to take beyond TCC, and we want every company to have their own instance of Culture of Good. It might be like what we did with the bus. We stopped at a lot of TCC stores and we had teacher kits where we went into schools and gave back to teachers. We had one teacher.
That was the Teachers Rock campaign, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We had a teacher look at one of our employees that we had walked in with a teacher box, and she said, for 17 years I've taught, and this is the first time anyone in my community besides a kid has told me thank you. And I thought, you know what? We've kind of failed teachers as a society, not just in terms of how much money they spend out of their
right.
own pocket, which on average is over $500 per year per teacher. Many times it's well over that. But just saying thank you, like walking into school and just giving supplies around February when by then all the tissues are gone. We had
the that glue was sticks the big, are dried up.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing we found is teachers want tissue boxes.
And, like, and don't they deserve them?
I know. I can't tell you how many classrooms I walked into. There was rolls of toilet paper sitting around. And they were like, good, we don't have to use toilet paper anymore. I'm like, this is just an opportunity to say thank you. And for me personally, that means a tremendous amount. If you don't mind me sharing a little bit of my personal story.
Please
why
do.
That matters. Okay,
absolutely.
Cool. So when I was 5, my mom was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And in Marion, Indiana, right in that small town. And my dad was a heroin addict. He came back from Vietnam addicted to drugs. He met my mom actually at the VA in Marion, mm-hmm. and they fell in love, and here I am.
Ta-da!
yeah, apparently a drug addict and a nurse get together and you get Orion. And the story becomes really sad because at the age of 5, my mom was diagnosed parent is schizophrenic. At 6 years old, she committed suicide. And so when I was in school in first grade, my mom went into our backyard and committed suicide. And remember, my dad's a heroin addict. I don't have a mom. You know, the entire world would look at a kid like that and say, there's no hope for that kid. You know, like hopefully it works out. I'll pray for him, whatever. What happened is 30 years after that, I had a little old lady walk up to me. She's about this tall. She looked up at me and she said, are you Ryan? I said, yeah. She said, are you Ryan McCarty? I said, yeah. And she just started crying. And she said, I didn't know what happened to you. She said, I was your teacher when your mom died, when she committed suicide. She said, I want you to know that when it came time for your mom's funeral, that some of your family members called me because no one knew what to do with you during the funeral. And she said, I showed up. And she said three words to me that impacts the culture of good, impacts my life. She said, I just want you to know, Ryan, that I was there. And she said, in class, every day I would bring a little towel and I'd have it on my shoulder and I'd carry it around in class because I knew I'd look back and I'd see you crying in the middle of class. I just lost my mom. I'm back in school. You know, she said, teachers can't do this anymore, but I'd come over and I'd pick you up and I'd hold you the entire class and I would teach the rest of the class while you cried on my shoulder. That's a teacher. When you look at what you do in life as more than a job and more than a career, when you can connect it to a calling, to your personal impact, to something that matters to someone else besides yourself. Like if I can show up to work every day and it's more than just about a paycheck. She didn't do that for a paycheck. She didn't get paid extra as a teacher because she came to my mom's funeral and held me during class. That there was no extra pay. There was no overtime. She did that because she felt called to.
She did it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now the teacher give back, the teacher's rock give back comes out of that, my own pain and my own story. And that's something I think I feel really called in life to do is teach people that whatever your pain has been, whatever you've been through in life, whatever you've gone through, there's so much purpose in that because you could go through that and hold that in and become bitter and angry at life, at the universe, at God or whoever, or you can turn that around and use it for tremendous good. And I don't know where I found that idea, but it happened for me. Where I knew that I needed, if I was going to go through that in life, looking back, that I wanted to use that for greater good. And having met her and having her just cry in front of me, her name's Mrs. Parker, in Marion, Indiana, at the Catholic school, St. Paul, to have her look at me and say, I never knew what happened to you, and I'm so proud of you and what your life has become, that's the greatest reward. Is knowing that someone that gave back to you, now you're giving back to others, and you see what kind of ripple effect that has, right? Like she impacts one, and now there are 3,000 employees going out and impacting how many people, how many teachers, because she was willing to go out of her way to do more than just show up to work and just be another teacher. Teachers are special, right?
They are.
But I want us to also recognize that if you work in a retail location or you're a janitor or whatever you do, if you're a bus driver, whatever you do, lean what you do and your experience into the world and reach out and make a difference with what you do and find meaning in your everyday stuff that you have to do, like discover your why.
Yeah.
And that becomes your why. That becomes your purpose. There's so many people are living in life I had a young person describe most people as bumper cars. We're just kind of like bumping against each other and doing work and going to work and driving home and paying bills. And we're just like bumper cars.
What's that idea of like ships in the night? Like you pass each other and you don't even know it. Your blinders are on.
And I think it's really time in our society. It's really a crucial moment. It's always been. But I think it's a really good moment now where we can stop and like ask the question, what is my life purpose? And that sounds really mystical and like elusive and dreamy. But maybe it just comes down to meeting some needs around you in your neighborhood. Maybe it's identifying some pain that you've been through personally and leveraging that and leaning your life into that for someone else and saying, hey, if I went through this and I survived, my story can impact someone else in a tremendous way. And that is my purpose. And, so at Culture of Good, we teach like you're going to invest your time, your talent, that's your abilities, your treasure, your resource, your finances, and your testimony, your time, talent, treasure, testimony, your story. And the question is, when's the last time you shared your story with someone? When's the last time you shared your pain? Not, you know, to complain about it, not to say this is what I went through, but to say this is what I've gone through and this is who I am now because of it. And I want to inspire someone else through that pain as well. That's when you start to discover life purpose. And that's what's really cool about Culture of Good, because it gives employees an opportunity to do more than just job or career. It's like life calling and purpose. And what employers are out there asking, how am I offering calling to my employees? You know?
We have our first tears on Edge of Indy.
Yeah. Thank you. I kind of cried. I cry a lot myself.
It's okay. So, I think that's everything you said. That's enormous. That's
thank you.
Very impactful for sure. Are there any other companies other than TCC, let's call them like the best of the good, so to speak, mm-hmm. any that you want to call out for like really exceptional work or a lot of growth or just companies that you've worked with that deserve to be recognized? And
you know, there's a couple really cool ones. One is kind of in the TCC family. Mm-hmm. But it's called Eldridge Communications. They're up in Pennsylvania. It's actually part of the video that we show where mm-hmm. there's a little girl, you know, hitting balloons around in one of the stores. And she is a Make-A-Wish child. And they have embraced Culture of Good and have just ran with it. I mean, their employees are on fire. They're going out and impacting the world, and they're connected. They're really building a tremendous culture there. Specific to Culture of Good. Another one right now recently that's just started to rebrand themselves is Scooch. And they create and they actually manufacture phone cases. But they've rebranded themselves as a company doing good and making a difference. And they're reaching out to battered women's shelters mm-hmm. and impacting them. But what's really cool about it is, again, they're having their employees do it. And that's what's really special about it. And they've taken Culture of Good beyond some of the ideas that we had and taken it to their city and saying, why don't we have three for-profit companies partner with one nonprofit that the city is currently having to, you know, give money to? And why don't these for-profit companies that know business help the nonprofit with their business so that they don't have to focus on fundraising all the time and they can get to what they were called to do in the first place. And we can also send our employees as volunteers. So that's what's really cool. And we're just at the kind of the beginning of the launch of this whole thing. Like our products and tools and deliverables will be ready about mid-August. So this is just, you know, we haven't even started.
Just getting started.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now for the book, we've touched on it, but I want to hear literally all about it. It's Build a Culture of Good.
Uh-huh.
It came out in January. Is that right? Okay, perfect. In January. Tell us a little bit about that. Who would benefit from really picking it up and reading it? Like who is the ideal reader for it?
Yeah.
And then also where we can get it.
Yeah.
And will you give me one?
Yeah. Well, I wish I would have brought one today, but I was downtown. I live downtown Indy here. And my wife and I have lived here for just over a year downtown. Uh-huh. We moved from Marion, and I was like, oh, I didn't bring any books today, but I'll bring one to you.
Perfect.
For sure.
Will you sign it for me too?
Absolutely. Great. Without a doubt. But we Scott and I realized about a year and a half ago, actually a little more than that, that, you know, companies were calling and saying, how do we do this? Your employees seem very engaged and connected to your culture, and they know their impact, and your customers talk about it, like how do we do this? And And we sat down and we looked at each other and we said, how did we do this? You know,
working backward. Yes.
Yeah. I would have loved to be able to say like today that we knew exactly how this looked and why it worked. But writing the book was really a process of working backwards and really looking back over old emails that I had sent when I first, not, even before I got hired on, and ideas that we were sending to each other and mistakes we made where we bought, not, it wasn't any tremendous mistakes, but one time we wanted to spread the message of the culture of good. So we bought like 500,000 fortune cookies and put like good messages in each one of them so that employees could like hand them to the customer. And the customer's like, I get a fortune cookie with a phone and they'd have to open it up and it would, it would force the employees to talk about the good. We just bought too many of them. So they ended up being like shipping peanuts for return shipments and stuff. It was a mess. Employees ate them. It was, you know, a lot of them were thrown away. But we made some mistakes along the way and we had some fun writing the book. We sat down with several of the leaders and started talking about what was the culture of TCC before culture of good? What was it during as we were launching and what mistakes do we make? And some of the things were like, you know, we didn't fully get the buy-in from top leadership early on. We just kind of said, this is what we're going to do. Scott and I, you might have saw him on the video. He's the guy with the bald head and stuck out his tongue during part of the video. We had a lot of fun doing it, but what could we have done better? What did we learn? And we're not, you know, we're not academics in the world of culture. We're not academics in the world of philanthropy. I just did nonprofit work and we're practitioners. So we jumped headfirst into this and
heart first.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We jumped heart first into this. I need to start using that.
That's what I'm here for.
I will totally steal that from you. We jumped heart first into it and we learned a lot. We made some mistakes. We found out what worked, what didn't work. We tried some stuff and we thought, why don't we share this with others? And so we sat down, we started writing this book and it's really it's a conversation. So it's a lot of Scott and I talking back and forth about our own experiences. We share our own story, my process of losing my mom and, you know, how that was inspirational with my teacher. And so my story growing up and then his story. So what's really neat and unique about our relationship is his family, his grandparents started Moorhead Electric in Marion that his parents took over and then sold and then started the Moorhead Communications that became TCC that he was able to take over about 10 years ago. And so he's been for profit his entire life. He's never done nonprofit work in that sense of leading in that way. But I did. And so we share that story and kind of like how we our past and our history and how we came together in this collision course of purpose. And from that point, how that collision course set us on course to launch Culture of Good and sharing the stories of employees and why the culture of good worked. And at the end, what's really cool about the book is at the end of each chapter, there's questions that a business owner, CEO, C-level leader, and really any layer of leadership within a company can ask themselves about the culture of their company. But it's also really neat for any level employee, frontline employee as well, to get the book and read through it and ask the question, does my company, is it exemplary in this way? Is it living out a culture of good? And if not, can I hand this book off to a leader and say, hey, you should read this? So really it's just, you know, it's more for the for-profit business world, for the leader all the way through to the frontline employee and being able to ask the right questions. To get the right answers, you know, and to really spark conversation. And some of those questions could be great conversation starters within a class or a boardroom or some type of training as well to say, let's sit down as a team, whether you're a team of like 5-6 people in a company or 6,000 people, let's sit down and ask these hard questions about our culture.
And then get it down on paper and agree to it and then live by it.
Wouldn't
you say culture, it cannot be top down.
It can't
be. It's not sustainable that way. Nope. I think it really has to be bottom up.
Completely.
You have to have buy-in at the bottom.
There's only a few
bottom.
People at the top, and culture is not what a few people do a little bit of the time.
Sure.
Culture is what most of the people are doing most of the time.
Yeah.
And most of the people aren't on top, right?
Right.
And but what we did find is that although it's dictated by the culture or determined by the majority of people, it's really, really important to have leadership buy-in. Because if not, philanthropy, CSR programs, where they fall short is the employees look at it more like a PR attempt or some type of marketing effort. Millennials specifically, most employees in general can see right through the BS of it. And they know this isn't real. This is not authentic. So we would say this, you really have to start with a leader that has a big heart. Mm-hmm. Right. And at least someone who cares. You can't give other people permission to care if you don't care yourself. And so the authenticity is what's talked about in the book. The alignment of the employees, the customers, and around a cause is crucial to that. So authenticity, alignment, and autonomy is a big part of that as well. Like, we're giving the employees the power to go do good themselves. We're giving them the resource, the room. Yeah, the permission. Because a lot of people, you know, they never associate their work with doing good. In general, many times they don't. And this really allows them not only to associate it, but empowers them to do that. And they can live that out themselves. So the book's available on Amazon. It's available on culturegood.com.
Okay.
And there's a Kindle version, so you can download the digital version. I know you guys are all about digital marketing, so you can digitally download it and read it.
Cool.
So it's going really well.
One of your Ryan McCartyisms that I found online was living a life where passion and contribution come together, mm-hmm. which to me, those are like the most beautiful words strung together in a sentence I've ever heard. That talk about just getting hit, you know, with a ton of bricks. Talk to me more about that and what employers can do to foster that in their agencies, organizations, or companies. Like,
sure. So this whole Ryanism came about 5 minutes before I got on stage in front of 1,000 employees.
That's a good time to come up with something.
Yeah, it usually happens that way. I actually ran to the restroom, looked in the mirror, and I said, you know, I had a lot of things prepared to say, the messaging that I had just didn't feel alive in me. Mm-hmm. And I looked in the mirror and it was like divine intervention where it just sunk into my head. And I ran back behind the stage and I was like 2 minutes before I was going to go on stage. And I had the guy put out, like, he typed it out on the screen. And when I got out on the stage, I started speaking. I was like, I hope he got it right. But it was this: I find my calling when my greatest passion collides with my greatest contribution to make the world better. That's where I find my calling. When I was 16 years old, I had a mentor named Bill Wilson in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I lived there in 1993. And he had a real raspy voice and a long bony finger. And he had lived there for a couple decades, right in the middle of the heart of New York City in the worst area. Mm-hmm. And he would point at me at 16 years old and he said, "Ryan, the need is the call." And he would say it again and again and again until I was like brainwashed. Like, he wrecked my 16-year-old self. I couldn't get away from that voice, and it was like haunting me, the idea of calling and purpose.
Yeah.
The need is the call. The need, you know, when you can see needs around you, and when companies give their employees the opportunity to identify their own needs in their local communities and give them the autonomy, when your passion collides with contribution, when a company gives their employees the opportunity and the permission to care, it simply means sitting down and saying, "What do you care about? Like, what are you passionate about?" Like, you might be passionate about animals. My daughter is 19 years old. To this day, if that commercial with Sarah McLachlan comes on and she starts singing "In the Eyes of the Angel," she is a bawling mess. She forces me to change the channel.
That's deep and real.
Oh, yeah. With the one eye and how they got cats to cry. I have no idea. Yes. You know, they spray them down with water before the commercial comes. I mean, they're pitiful. And my daughter can't watch that because she is so moved by that. We're moved by different things.
Absolutely.
And for an employee to know that their company cares about what they're moved by, that they're given the permission not only to care, but to do something about it. So that's where contribution comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's where impact is. My other daughter is 24 years old, millennial. And I sat down with her and I said, all right, there's all this studies about millennials. Employers complain about millennials. I don't know why they do. They have all these negatives, right? I said, why are you different from everybody else? And she said, Dad, the only thing that I can figure out is I care deeply about my impact. I care deeply about where I spend my money because I because of the internet and global connection, I see where that shirt is manufactured. It's not that they care more. It's not that this younger generation has a bigger heart.
They know more.
They know more.
Yep.
And because they know more, they see their impact. And that's where companies can start to say, all right, this is really crucial now that we give our employees permission to care about the things that they're passionate about and create a collision for them. And that's what the Culture Good does. It creates a collision between what they're passionate about and where their contribution is. And they don't have to wait till Saturday to give back. They can give back during work. They can have hours, paid time off, where they can go on an individual level and go give back to what they care about. So we created a three-tiered approach where we've got quarterly good that happens across the entire board of the company of TCC, that everybody's doing the same good at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's very emotional, impactful, and disruptive. And then we have, which we call like big good, and then we have our good, which every store or department can go and do the good that they're passionate about in their local community. And then we have my good, what you're talking about with every individual says, this is what I'm passionate about. And then we create a collision for them where they can contribute to that of their time, talent, treasure, and their testimony. And they start to see their impact connected to where they work and why they go to work every day. And now you've got somebody that even if they don't work for you for life, they believe in you for life. And our greatest salespeople are people that either work for us or used to work for us, because they're going to get online and they're going to share about the impact and they're going to give reviews about what kind of company it was. And those are the things that really matter.
Well, it just makes so much, everything you're saying makes so much sense.
Easier said than done.
You're just so sensible.
Yeah. I kind of like see things as being very common sense, you know?
It really like, should be.
And sometimes it's easier said than done. Culture is something that, you know, culture of good is very difficult to introduce into a company that is failing, quite frankly, because sometimes the employees say, okay, they're trying this as a last ditch effort. You know, the boat is sinking and we're going to start giving back as we sink, you know?
They're starting to play the fiddles on the Titanic, yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, who wants to hear the fiddler players? Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that's something that is a challenge, not having leaders that want to embody this and have a heart and care is something that's really difficult as well. But ultimately, you know, what really works with this is that idea that every employee does have the opportunity to contribute to what they care most about. And that's what we want to start seeing. And when we create that collision for them where it makes the world better, it makes them better. Like, we're better people when we're doing good, just in general. Right. Like, and that's that sensibility. Easier said than done. Right. So culture is something that's really difficult to put your finger on. So what we did is we had organizational psychologists come into TCC and ask tons of questions, spend hundreds of hours with several employees, leadership all the way through to frontline, and really diagnose the company and say, this is what we're getting back, not just from Scott and Ryan. So Scott Moorhead and I, we can go out here and preach this all day long and say, this is why it works. But let's listen to the employees. Mm-hmm. And they did that and created a baseline model of culture of good that now they're building all the tools off of, so that it's really something that's not just a theory or philosophy, of doing good and how to drive your business, but it's a, we have a true business model around it that companies can identify this will actually work. That's important. Yeah. I mean, when you're sitting down with another company and saying all these ideas is one thing, but when you say here's the tools that we have available for your company and the opportunity to really engage in this in an intentional, dynamic way, that's when the conversation gets really interesting, because it's exciting because it actually does work, right?
Go figure that.
Common sense stuff does work.
It does. Yeah, so for anyone out there watching right now who wants to get in touch with you, who is totally buying into everything you're saying and wants to get the ball rolling, how can people get in touch with you, and what can we do for you at Edge of Indie, Site Strategics?
What can
we do to help with your mission?
Because
I'm bought in 100%. So how can we help you?
Yeah, the biggest thing is kind of starting with just going on the website. cultureofgood.com is one way, and you can email us through that. I think it's info@cultureofgood.com.
Okay.
My email is ryan@cultureofgood.com. You can reach out directly to me. It's ryan@cultureofgood.com. That's kind of the starting place, and just saying, hey, this is our business, and we want more information about it. Like you asked earlier, it can be a company that has 2 employees. It could be a company that has 2,000, 20,000 employees. You know, we've built this in a company that has over 3,000 employees in 38 states, right? And so we know it works with a large company, but each one of those employees work in a store of about 4 or 5 employees. And each one of them have their own instance of Culture of Good. So what's really neat is we've had this like testing ground of a huge company, and it's worked there, but we've also been able to do Culture of Good instances on a very localized, hyper-local level in a store with 4 or 5 people, with a store manager and a few employees. So it works in small and big. There's really no difference in terms of how we embark on that conversation. Yeah.
And then in terms of social media, I know people can find you on Twitter at Culture of Good and at Ryan McCarty if they want to connect with you. Mm-hmm. And you're also on Instagram at Culture of Good too.
At
is
Culture
that right?
of Good. Yep. Yep.
Perfect.
Culture of Good Instagram, Facebook. We're Culture of Good. Culture Good everywhere.
Make it simple. Make it simple. Make it searchable.
I was glad I grabbed all of those social medias early on, including culturegood.com. I grabbed that like right when I started. And when we went to launch the website, everybody's like, oh my gosh, somebody has culturegood.com. I was like,
it's me.
Yeah, I should have made a bunch of money off of that, but I didn't.
Next time.
Missing opportunity.
Next endeavor.
Left and right, yeah.
Ryan, I want to thank you so much. This has been awesome. I want to chat with you off the air also,
because
I feel like I can help in other capacities as well, and I want to make sure we help as much as possible.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on another good episode of Edge of Indie. We hope everyone out there feels really good. Again, I want to thank Ryan McCarty, our guest from Culture of Good. Keep up your great work.
Thank
You're doing good things, and it's appreciated. I can see it out there. So good for you. This is Brittany signing off on another show. Everyone out there, be sure to share and share often. Be kind to one another and make sure to support Indianapolis, and have a great day.